We begin hour number three of the program. We're here at North Knoxville Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, 225 Callahan Drive. And today, Coach Josh Heupel met the media. It's the first time that he took questions after the postgame Saturday following the win over Florida. So why don't we get right to it and lead off this hour with what Josh Heupel had to say today as he met and took some questions.
Just want to start by congratulating Coach Webb and the golf team, obviously winning a match play championship yesterday. It's awesome to see their success and great to see a lot of success here on campus by all of our sports teams. So excited for them. Obviously we're in a bye week, got some work today, got an opportunity to heal some guys up, but get back to some fundamental work as well and start turning our attention to LSU a little bit here as the week goes on. So with that, I'll open it up. Not right now. Obviously, we're a long ways away from game time. We're hopeful that he'll continue to make progress and be available when we go down there.
Josh, when y'all were kind of cleaning up the film from the Florida game, what did you see defensively that was causing some issues? Was that Richardson just making some plays, or were there some breakdowns in the mix?
Sure. Some of it you got to give him credit, give them credit too. He's a good player and made some plays with his feet and with his arm too. And some of their max protections, they were able to block it up pretty well and give him time to push the football down the field. There's things that we got to do better, starting with some tackling, assignment, understanding. We're not playing with the right angles and technique that maybe allow him to get outside of the pocket. The tackling down the football field at times was not good enough. And then there's some coverage lapses too. And in what we do, that can be all three levels. You know, it can be obviously our secondary, but our linebackers. And sometimes when we're dropping our front into coverage too, then being in the right spot. It's a combination of all those things that didn't allow us to get us off the field. We had them in a bunch of second and longs and third and longs too, and we got to take advantage of those situations.
You mentioned working on fundamentals this week. For young guys, how big of a week is this to kind of catch their breath, to see, for you guys to evaluate, see where they are in terms of how much they can help you over the next third of the season? A guy like Joshua Josephs, other players like that.
Yeah, some guys that have played for us, maybe not in every ball game up until this point, but have played some. And guys that have played every snap, they've been a part of what we're doing, and that's in all three phases. A chance to kind of reset, get back to some fundamentals, which are important. It takes you to where you need to be, and then obviously continued development of our young guys, and that's guys that have played and guys that haven't. That as this season goes on, here you get to the back two thirds of the season. You guys know, right? You're going to need a bunch of bodies because you don't know, who gets nicked up and when.
Javonte Spraggins hasn't given up a sack or a QB hit this year. Where specifically has this game come along?
Yeah, first of all, he always plays with great energy and passion and plays, to the echo of the whistle. I love his football energy, excitement, and demeanor every single day. He cares in a really, really good way. He's just gotten better and being fundamentally better in pass protection. His growth, through spring ball and through training camps allowed him to play more efficiently in the pass protection world. And obviously we're going to continue to need that here.
How do you evaluate your offensive line play so far this year overall?
Been really good at times. Obviously there's a lot of things that we got to do better. There were some things in the protection world that they did a really good job of the other night. There's some things that got to get cleaned up with everybody in our pass protections too. The run game wasn't as clean as it could have been, but there were some positives in the run game too.
Kind of
a vague answer, isn't it? I don't give out a grade, A, B, C, D or anything like that, but there's some things that they've done at a really high level. We can be more consistent.
Injury update on will Warren Burrell be available, and then Dylan and D. Those last two guys were warming up the other day.
Yeah, we'll just see where we get to when we get to next week. We're a long ways away, and that's the advantage of a bye week, to just see where we're at.
And we talk a lot about the tempo on offense, but because your offense works so fast, scores quickly, your defense is being put back out there quickly. Is there an adjustment during the season of that quick change of the defense having to adjust to that speed, getting back out there after 2 or 3 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, real time, you don't always know what it is, because you got TV timeouts and that type of thing. So our kids understand, how we're playing. And I'm saying every player on our roster and understands, what the flow of the game typically is. Offensively, if we're not picking up the first down, obviously that can be a quick change and something you don't want to do offensively because you want to go score, and obviously you want to give your defense a little bit of time to make some adjustments on the sideline too.
With Hendon, any lingering issues with whatever was in the game on Saturday with Hendon?
He was out there today and looked good, so we anticipate having no problems.
And the final 8 minutes of the game, you're up 17, it gets down to the final play. What did you like, not like, about how you guys kind of closed out the game with the lead and
Yeah, I mean, offensively, you want to finish out the four-minute drive when we had the football and be able to be in a position to take a knee and end the game with us on the field offensively. And defensively, we just didn't do the things that you need to at the end. And that's tight coverage, just being able to affect the quarterback and get off the football field. And, you know, there's some things that we got to do better, handle the last play the right way. BY is able to get some pressure on the quarterback. Obviously, special teams. Onside kick, you don't want to give those up. You know, you're putting yourself in a susceptible position right there. So there's things in finishing out the game that we have to do a better job, and that's our entire football team. It's not just one player or one unit.
Josh, how well is Omar Thomas playing right now, and what was key for his development over the offseason?
I'm sorry, I missed it.
Omar Thomas, just how well is he playing right now?
Has been probably as consistent as anybody has been in the interior. Continuing to change his body has allowed him to be more explosive, play in a better football position, play with better fundamentals and technique, the duration of a football game. You know, his continued growth as a leader has been important inside of our defensive line room. And, you know, he's continually getting better and doing a better job of you know, snagging off and making plays in the run game and being able to push and affect the pocket and create some big plays there too.
What's your excitement for the future of Tennessee athletics as a lot of these programs achieve such success?
Yeah, I just this is this brand as an athletic department and as a university too. Just I think this is a great time to be in Knoxville. And you know, the passion of our fan base is felt by, obviously, our football program, but it's felt by everybody. And there's a ton of excitement that surrounds Knoxville, state of Tennessee, and Vol Nation. And that creates an energy that helps us recruit great players. And I'm talking every program. When it's going good, your logo is in front of everybody all year long, 365 days out of the year. And success breeds success across the board. And I think it's really unique that within our athletic department, you have a close-knit group of coaches that truly care about each other and genuinely are excited when the other one is successful. And all of that parlays itself into us continuing to build and be able to chase championships, not just as a football program, but as an entire athletic department. And it's a lot of fun. You guys are in here enough. You see, you know, student-athletes from every sport that are walking in here, and the energy is different than when I first got here inside of the building, and you can feel that. It's because of, you know, the atmosphere that's been created across all the sports.
Josh, were you pleased with how everybody around Hendon kind of stepped up with, you know, Cedric wasn't there, that's a big loss. A couple of targets went to the running backs, to the tight ends, everybody kind of elevated the play. And secondly, what'd you think of that catch from Ramel Keaton?
Saturday was a great example of you know, this being the greatest team sport there is, and the next man inevitably is going to have to step up. And you saw that in multiple ways throughout the course of the game. Ramel's catch is a great example, but that's just one play that he made on Saturday. You know, greatest tribute you can give to him, man, is there wasn't anything that was different about what we did. And you could see the trust that Hendon had in him. And when the ball went his way, he came away with it and made plays on the catch, but then after the catch too. And his play down the sideline was a huge turning point in the football game, allowed us to be aggressive in the two-minute situation and go get points, able to flip the scoreboard there with a 14-point swing.
Coach, for the last couple of weeks, would ask about your secondary. You've mentioned a couple of different times tightening up their coverage. Is that them not playing with confidence? Is that them not understanding? Why is the secondary not playing as tight a coverage?
It's just being a little bit better in fundamentals, technique, having their eyes in the right place, and understanding situational football. It's things that they can and will do here as we continue to move.
Joshua Josephs and Tyree West both get their get some pretty significant action in a big spot. How did you evaluate how
those two kids played? Played really well. You know, gap integrity in the run game and being able to affect the quarterback in some of the passing situations. Tyree had some tackles that were behind the line of scrimmage, and I think those guys are going to continue to grow here as we go. We're deeper and able to play more guys. Are able to play harder for longer. And play at a higher level. Those two guys continued growth here, something I'm really excited about seeing here on the back two-thirds of the season.
Josh, if you could think back to the way Hendon sort of played early last year, right, when you go to him there the third or fourth game and where he is now, how much of a different level is he playing at now, and how much room is there still to grow for him? Because statistically, the numbers don't get much better.
Yeah, there's still room for him to grow. He would say and echo the same thing. But it's awesome that, you know, we can see the growth of him, but you guys can see it too. And this game's really hard. Playing that position is really hard. The decisions you got to make, the ability to do that in the run game, in the pass game, way he's using his feet. Sometimes it looks easy because they're playing at a really high level. It's not easy, and he's just in so much command of what we're doing. He understands the why behind everything, and that's a big part of it.
Coach, you know, you've had some guys that have made some mistakes in games and come back and made some key plays. Obviously, Trey Flowers against Pitt, and then Princeton Fant had the fumble and then the critical pickup on third down. Just what does that say about guys like that coming out and just your trust in them as well?
Yeah, I think it does show trust by our entire coaching staff because they've earned that trust, too. I think it's a mentality, attitude, to have the ability to reset, and I think that speaks to some of the growth inside of our program and the growth of our players individually, that they have the ability to reset. This game's going to have a bunch of ups and downs. It ain't going to be perfect. And our players have understood that and have been able to reset and go compete. And the look in their eye on Saturday when it wasn't going good, or, you know, against Pitt, it doesn't waver, it doesn't change. And that speaks to some of the maturity of our football team.
Josh, I know you guys will do some LSU work later in the week, but what are some of your early observations on the LSU Tigers?
Yeah, they're long, they're athletic. Defensively, multiple in what they do. Offensively, have some skill players that can affect the game. And it's a good football team.
So comments from Tennessee football coach Josh Heupel as he met the media today.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it's, hey, like what we've done, like the fight and the work ethic of our guys, but things we need to clean up. Doesn't, I think, try to get into too many details on outing anyone. I think he does a good job of not putting too much responsibility or blame on a player or a coach. I think speaks kind of general, so you know that there are things that he wants to work on, and it's clear some of those things, but not put it on the shoulders of one. Even when he was talking about the breakdowns, he's like, you know, it's not just the DBs. Sometimes it's the linebacker. Sometimes it's the defensive lineman when they're dropping in coverage, and you do see them do that. So I think he does a good job of not throwing one unit, one player under the bus, whereas a lot of others on the outside do take that approach.
I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara, and today we're here at North Knoxville Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Callahan, and just so many things to take a look at. But as we talked about with the general manager here, Brooke Fulham, all you need to know, no hassle, no haggle. First price is the only price, and we're talking about pricing that's under the manufacturer's suggested retail price. It's no-cost lifetime warranty and treated like family the moment you come on the lot.
Yeah, that's the key. First price, only price, but the first price is a really low starting price and ending price as well. So this facility is amazing. You can tell they take a lot of pride into it, and they know exactly what they're doing. That's why they're successful. It's kind of like Vegas. They know what they're doing because they keep building buildings out there. Well, there's a reason for that. They know what they're doing. Here, they know what they're doing, and they've earned the right to have this kind of beautiful facility. So hope everyone will if you get a chance to come by and check them out, whether it's today during our show or next time you're in the area, do it.
Absolutely. And Vince would throw out this question from the text line, and that is Bill in Sevierville is asking, what kind of production do you think Tennessee's getting out of the star position? And certainly got a lot of play out of that post last year, but do you see anything similar yet this year?
I think it's not quite as productive as it was last year with Theo Jackson. Theo Jackson was fantastic. It was a career year for him. So, but and I think Tamarian McDonald has played well for Tennessee. He's gotten the starts. He's played more at that star spot, but it's been a 1-2 duo with McDonald and Wesley Walker as well. Tamarian McDonald has 7 tackles on the year. Of course, he had the interception on the very first defensive play for Tennessee. So I think a couple of tackles for loss, a pass breakup, quarterback hurry. So and Walker actually has the same numbers. 7 tackles, has a tackle for loss, has a sack as well. So McDonald doesn't have a sack. He has the quarterback hurries, but Walker has the sack. I think both of those guys, Walker probably played a little bit better in the Florida game, but it's been more McDonald that has had a nice start to the season. So it's not quite what it was last year, but those guys are still guys that I think are learning the position. Tim Banks said it last time we talked to him, I guess it was early last week, that, hey, they're still trying to get used to doing what we're doing, but McDonald has – both of them have very similar, pretty decent size for that star position. So they've done okay, can be better, but I don't think that's the biggest weakness on this defense. I think the corners are the ones where they've had some flashes, but maybe a few more inconsistencies.
I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara doing a bang-up job, pinch hit for Jimmy Hyams as Jimmy gets to enjoy a little time off during the open date. Jimmy will be back in the air chair on Friday as we, of course, will be out and about and getting ready for a full night of high school football. But anyhow, today was a day that we got to hear Vince, not only from Tennessee's head coach, but also some Vols players, including this week's SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week.
Yeah, and the word grateful popped up several times with him, and talked about himself and his game and his toughness, physicality. So some interesting stuff from Javonte Spraggins, who, as Coach Heupel said, plays to the echo of the whistle.
Let's go ahead and hear that now.
So Coach Heupel, some of the players that have already spoken today, they say you play the game with a whole lot of energy. Have you always been that way, and why is that important for you?
Since a kid, I've been always high energy, high juice. It's an everyday thing with me. It doesn't stop. It's just who I am. Just coming out of high school, I knew from that point that, hey, I was a twitchy guy, even though I was considered a lineman. Not most linemen are considered twitchy or, like, got good get off and stuff. But I knew from early on, since high school, that I would be at least a little bit agile with my feet.
Fontes, I know you said that during the recruiting process you didn't do a whole lot of, you know, visiting elsewhere, you know, once you committed and everything. Why was that? A lot of guys will say, I'm committed, but I'm still going to take these visits. I'm still going to go have fun. Why didn't you go through that process?
Well, from the start, when I arrived on campus, even before I was on scholarship and everything, I came out doing a high school football camp at and I had just received a good amount of offers from a big camp, so I came out here with a 7-on-7 team, and I just did a workout in front of the coach, and at that moment they offered me a scholarship. I took notice of, like, the university and everything, that the history that it came with, and I knew at that time that I had guys here already in the system that supported me as a player and as a person beyond the football field, so I knew that I would be taken care of in that sense. And from that point, I just knew, hey, man, I'm coming somewhere to play ball. You got to make a decision now, and never waver till later.
Javonte, you haven't given up a sack or a QB hit this year. Why do you think you're getting the results and you've
elevated your game so far?
Taking into account all the little details, like every time I come up and talk, I always talk about how the little details of the game matter more than anything, because that's what make or break teams or win or lose games. Just it's an everyday process for me, taking it step by step and knowing what I can do to win and how I can lose, or just small steps every day to be better is what helps me get the edge.
Javontez, how does a quarterback like Hendon Hooker, does he make your job easier a little bit, maybe get you guys out of trouble sometimes, you know, with his feet or whatever the case may be? What's it like playing with a quarterback like Hendon?
Yeah, it's real wild. Sometimes he does, and just it's a lot to say about Hendon, but from my perspective, that's a guy right there. Every day, day in and day out, he comes into work, and he puts his team in a position to win every day.
Javontez, how specifically did you celebrate the Florida win? What was that like, either for you specifically that night or the team?
It was just an amazing experience. Like, man, games like that don't come around a lot, and for a team or a player to experience it, it's really actually grateful to be a part of something great like that. Like, these guys, we come in every day, work our butts off, and we just trying to prove to everybody that we're a top team in the SEC.
Javontez, you've always been really physical, powerful in the run game. You kind of talked in the past about improving as a pass blocker. How much time did it take to really kind of make the strides you've made, and what's it been like to see some of the improvement that you've put on the field in four games?
It's really, I'm really grateful to be able to be able to play football, because it's not a long-lasting game forever for some people. And just me every day knowing that if I do the little things that'll put me in a better position, that's where my head's at, like, every other day when I'm not on that football field on Saturdays or whatever the case may be. I just sit up there and I think, what can I do to be better? What can I do to be an inch further than everybody else? Like, the little things that I could do to make myself be noticed more than others.
Bryson Eason just told us that he feels like y'all are the best offensive line group in the country. Just from y'all's perspective, what's your assessment on yourselves through the first 4 weeks of the season?
Well, we basically set goals for ourselves as an O-lineman, and I just said a few of them. Like, as an O-lineman, we want to be physical, we want to be smart, and we want to attack every day. So that's just been our motto from week one to up to this point now, and we haven't let up yet.
Javontez, what's that line that you play with? You mentioned it there. You got to be smart. You know, extracurriculars after the play, sticking up for a teammate, a running back, a quarterback. What's that line to where you kind of have to play with, where you want to stick up for a guy, but you can't go get a penalty?
Well, it depends on how it plays out, but most of the time our guys are smarter in the decisions we make on the field, because we know that that could either make or break a drive or put us in a better position. So we're pretty smart on making the right decisions through in and throughout the plays, every drive.
A couple questions, Javontez. The first one, how quickly did it take you to learn how fast y'all had to play in this offense for O-linemen? What was that transition like?
Man, when the coaches first got here, it was already set in stone that, hey, we're moving the ball up and down the field, and we're not going to waste time for nobody. So it happened fast, and we got a hold of it, and we've been rolling ever since.
What about the awareness level that you need when you've got a quarterback like Hooker that's working with you on the offense? Because there's some plays where, a lot of them, where he'll drop back like it's a pass, and then he just takes off, and it's like a 30 or 40-yard run, and you're trying to hustle downfield and get a hat on a hat. What's that? Is it like a head on a swivel all the time in this offense?
Definitely, because anything can happen. The way our offense is run, we basically scheme things to put us in a better position throughout all the teams that we play. So sometimes it might seem a little off, but most of the times when we do things, we do it for a reason. Like, we block certain ways for a reason, the way we cover down the field for a reason. There's a lot of small details that take place to get us in the right spots.
Javontez, how would you describe a Glenn Ellerbe on game days? What's his demeanor, personality like on a game day, during a game?
Well, as far as Coach Ellerbe, man, he tries to stay cool, calm, and collected, but I know he got a ball of fire inside of him every time game time come around. He tries to keep his guys in line and ready for the storm. So he's like the mediator. He keeps us calm before we're ready to go strike. Man, in game, it's the same thing. We get off to the sideline. We we figure out what we're going to do the next possession, next drive, and he's the same guy. Hey, what's going on here? What's going on there? He's just making sure everything is right before his group go back out again to what he showcased.
Comments from the SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week, Javontez Spraggins.
Yeah, the little things, the details, those are so important, and especially when you're trying to take your game to another level, you start stockpiling those small things. They end up being big things and bringing you big results, and he's getting that this year, having not given up a sack or a QB hit on the year. And love the fact that he's always sitting around thinking, even when he's not at the facility, hey, how can I be just a little bit better than everybody else? He's not just motivated by, hey, let me just get through what the coaches are telling me. He's trying to be better than everybody. Still has some work to get there, but he is a mobile big man with a nasty edge that's been productive. I think the rest of the line needs a little bit more of the consistency that they've gotten, like they've gotten from Spraggins.
Yeah, I think so as well. I do think the unit has performed well, but there is room for improvement. But yep. To just see a couple of guys kind of lead the way, it's been something to see.
Yep, for sure.
I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. Vince pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. And today we're at North Knoxville Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, 225 Callahan Drive. And Vince, they've got some Jeep Adventure Days going on.
They do, and these are some rare vehicles and ones that you can do your off-roading, you're just styling and profiling. There's a lot you can do with them, but they're unique and special, and they're celebrating it, so you should come see their selection of it. We've seen some of them here in front of us, incredible vehicles. So, yeah, come take advantage of it.
Very much so. And then I do want to say best of luck to the Tennessee Smokies tonight. It is winner take all in terms of the AA South Championship that the Smokies are trying to win. Had a chance to wrap it up last night, grabbed the lead, but lost 7-1 to Pensacola. So it's the Smokies and the Blue Wahoos tonight. Smokies Stadium, 7:15 the first pitch. Vince, perfect night to be at a ballpark.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be awesome. Should have all hands on deck for that game tonight, and it's a great place to watch a game, even if it's middle of the season or whatever, on a weekday. It's incredible, but now everything on the line, and I believe it will be on AM 990 tonight because we have Vol calls on the FM, so it'll be AM 990 for the Smokies and Vol calls from 8 to 9 on the FM 99.1.
That's right, and Vol calls tonight will feature Coach Josh Heupel, as well as Brennan Webb, the head coach of the Golf Volunteers, and as well as Lady Vol soccer coach Joe Kurt. So there's all that and so much more. And just a little bit of belated congratulations, but what about the Volunteers golf team winning the SEC Fall, knocking off top-ranked Vanderbilt to do so?
Yeah, impressive. Boy, those Olympic sports, John, just continue to come through and raise the bar. Even Josh Heupel opening his press conference today, congratulating Coach Webb and the golf team.
Where, while we were doing news and notes at the start of the show, we mentioned all of the games that have either been pushed up in the week, pushed back in the week, and teams that have altered what their week and where they're working out has gone through because of Hurricane Ian. But Vince, it was announced today that the NFL has selected U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. That's going to be the contingency site for the Sunday night game between the Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow.
So if the Buccaneers are unable to play at their home stadium, then they would technically be the home team in the Vikings Stadium against the Chiefs on Sunday night football.
And just a guess here, because I'm not a meteorologist, playing one here on Sports Talk, as we are about to head into the 6 p.m. hour. But I think it's probably because as the weekend goes on, there's a path inland where they're going to have this weather just shoot up the coast. So that eliminates a lot of the potential areas where you could maybe get a closer in geography new venue. And that one's probably the closest outside of that footprint, so of that projected area where the weather could be a factor. So, yeah, it's it'll be strange to see that, but we've been through, we went through COVID and we've been through hurricanes, moving games before. The Saints and the Packers at the beginning of last year played in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So, it unfortunately, there's a little bit of practice in it for numerous reasons.
Yep, but it's at least they're sharing their the notion as to they have a plan and they've got one in place. And here's hoping that, again, that they're able to hold it in Tampa. But, Vince, as you were talking about, just what we've seen in terms of the footage, likely there are going to be so much demand on available power. Probably going to still be some tons of power outages at that point in time. So you just you have no idea, even though we're talking here on a Wednesday, as everything is really heating up. I just think that it'd probably be best just go ahead and make that call.
Yeah, you're talking about lack of power, wind damage, flooding. There's so many things that could be a factor, even without the direct hit in Tampa. And, you know, it can get into Jacksonville and it up the coast. There could be massive flooding, the storm surge along the coast. Just insane how much damage could come out of what very well might be one of the most destructive hurricanes ever to hit the United States. And that's saying a lot considering what we've already been through in the past. So certainly thinking about everybody down there, and thanks to everyone that's asked about my family, specifically being born and raised in Tampa.
Yeah, so wishing everybody in the area the very best, and then also the personnel that you normally need on hand just to,
right,
whether it be first responders, things like that, security, they'll also be stretched very thin.
Yep.
From this point forward. But anyhow, again, that could very well be the case, that Tampa and Kansas City will square off in Minneapolis on Sunday Night Football. We've got another hour of sports talk coming up. Look forward to bringing you comments from Lady Vols coach Kelly Harper as they had their first official practice yesterday. We'll also get a practice report with Eric Kane. And up next, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. So stay with us on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.